We're doing in Ayan Gemara Brachot. The Gemara quotes from Elio. Elio is standing on Har Carmel and he says, Aneini Hashem Aneini. Answer me, please, Hashem, answer me. I think, maybe, when we say on every fast day, Aneinu Hashem Aneinu B'yom Tzom Ta'aniteinu, we are taking that term from Elio on Har Carmel. Amar Rabbi Yavu, Lama Amar Eliyahu Aneini Bet Pamim. Why did Elio say Aneini twice?
People believe him, and so God will answer.
Melamed Shamar Eliyahu, this teaches us Elio said before Hashem, Ribono Shlolam, Master of the World, Aneini Sheteret Esh Min HaShemayim Tuchal Kol She'er LaMizbech. Answer me, Hashem, that a fire should come from heaven and consume whatever's on the altar. V'aneini shetasiach da'atam, and answer me, Hashem. Distract them. Kidei shelo yimu masek shafimim. They shouldn't say, when I'm done with this miracle, oh, he did a good trick. It's all sorcery. Shneimar v'ata asibot et libam achoronit. As the pasuk says later on, that Eliyahu asked Hashem, turn their hearts around. Turn their hearts backwards. They shouldn't think of that claim against me. Answer me, Hashem, that the fire should come down, and answer me, please. They shouldn't think of a claim, okay, you did a miracle, but you did it with sorcery. Says Rav Kook Zatzal. Tachlit emunah amitit yashlemut b'masim uv'midot habaot l'ragleah. The essence of true emunah is the wholeness of actions and the wholeness of traits that come as a result of it. V'neharat ha-sechel hi me'ula me'od k'divrei ha-chovat ha-levavot. Our mind can be aroused even without miracles. A person can reach a recognition that he should be a God-fearing person. He doesn't need miracles. A person can reach that recognition. A person has to A, connect to a pure connection to being a God-fearing person, and desiring good traits. V'zoi tachlit ma'alat hanefashot. And that is the essence of where our souls can aspire to, can grow. Al ken ra'ata tamid ha'ashkacha elokit she'itnagu ha'nisim b'sha'atam b'ofen she'achshiru at hanefashot li'itnadev la'derech ha'yishara me'ara sechlit. Says Rav Kook, a fundamental point. Every miracle was supposed to arouse us so that we will straighten ourselves out and decide through being straight people that we want to arouse our minds, to arouse ourselves to be good. It's not because of the miracle I will believe. It's because of the miracle I should be aroused to be a better person. If I will be a better person, if I'll be a more God-fearing person, then I will attain where the goals I have to attain. So, the arousal of my mind can stem from my desire to have pure yirat shamayim, pure fear of heaven, from the desire for good traits. That can lead to the arousal of the mind. That's why wherever possible, it's much better if the miracle is not so obvious and as such a wonder is in your face way. The less miraculous, the better. The closer it is to nature, the better. Because at the end of the day, Hashem wants us to do the work. Not to see a miracle and say, "Oh, for sure that's so." I had a friend in Merkaz Arav that used to quote that Rav Shach Zatzal used to say, "I don't believe any of the stories they say. All the miracle stories, I don't believe them." He says, not because they didn't happen, not because they can't be true, but because if I believe them, then it's no trick to believe in Hashem. Ooh, all these miracles happened. The rabbi just did that and the clouds moved. So of course I believe in Hashem. But if I don't believe any of these stories, so then my connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam can't come from the stories. There has to be a much different connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. שמצד עצמו עדיין יישאר מקום למתלונן לומר שנעשה בלעת וחישוב חיוצא בזה. Hashem purposely does every miracle as much as is possible in that scenario. The miracle should leave room for a person to say, oh, that was a trick. That was done differently. כדי שתצא לפועל גם כן ההכרה השכלית. The miracle is supposed to allow me to bring out from within me an intelligent recognition that Hashem exists. It's not supposed to lock me into a corner. Ooh, Hashem did that, so that's it. What can I do? Hashem obviously exists. No. לעזור לבחור דרך טוב הנכון. A miracle is supposed to support me and help me to make the right decision, but not force me. שוב דרך השם שכולו דרך חינם ונתיבות שלום. The ways of Hashem are pleasant. Part of the pleasant ways of Hashem is that Hashem leaves me room to say, oh no, I could still be my lazy old self and do what I feel like. That gives me the ability to live life. Life is about making the right choices. That is the essence of life. Making the right choices is about free will. Free will is about being able to see the other option as being a viable option. If I feel like there is no viable option, what are you kidding? Fire came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice. How could I make the other choice? No, no, no. Then I don't have free will. Then I'm not living life. Only when there was no other choice did miracles happen where, in a way that people couldn't even question the miracle. That's where Leo, peace be upon him, he used this miracle even though they could have said it was all sorcery. Leo wants to arouse the people. Stop being pagans. Stop worshipping the Baal. Eliyahu shows up to Mount Carmel and asks them, is Hashem the God? Go after him. If the Baal, go after him. The nation stands silent. Gee, I don't know. The nation's silence is deafening. But they're silent. So Eliyahu says, but let the miracle leave them the ability to live life, to make their decision. ולשוב לעבודת השם הכרה פנימית שהיא שלמות אמיתית ועומד לעד. Elio wants them to do tshuva from an inner inspiration because that can last forever. If it's just, oh, the miracle, so that'll wear off. Eventually, they'll be back to their old ways. It has to be from within. מה שאין כן חזרה שתעשה רק מפני מופת שאי אפשר לדחותו בשום מילה, אין הלב משותף תארתו. If a person sees a miracle, and he feels like, I can't deny that, I better do tshuva. So then the heart is not a partner to that tshuva. That's a forced tshuva. Rak mipnei cheshbon hayavesh lasechel hamachiach. A person does a calculation. He says, okay, Pascal's wager, I just lost. There is a God. There is a God, I better behave. Oh no. Okay, I'm going to behave. That's not tshuva. That's not an inner arousal. That's not a person attaining a wholeness. En la davar kayama. And that will not last long term, says Rav Kook. Al ken bikesh yazam Hashem lechonen levavam lavat Hashem laskil b'amito. That's why Elio davens, he says, Ribon Shom, help them understand this correctly. Help them make the right decision. V'rak la'atikam ergel ha'ra shel avodah zarah yu'il hanes shel esh min ha'shamayim. So then why do you need a miracle? Because you need to stun them out of their habits. If every day things are going the way they expect, then they have to have a wake-up call. And then people will make the right choice from an inner recognition of what's right. And they're not going to think, hey, maybe that was sorcery. Rav Kook concludes with another point. He says, when something resonates with us, when something tells us that's right, that's correct, and there's an inner conscience that says, that's right, that's the way to lead life, that is the correct way. So then a person feels that connection, and he grows internally, and that's a connection that will have long-lasting effects on their life. That's a connection they could hold on to the rest of their lives. And that was what Eliyahu was hoping for. Rav Kook doesn't tell us here, and I don't know, what happened the next day in the life of Israel.
The very next day?
The next day, the next week. Because what we find is that Izebel sends word to Eliyahu and says, "You're dead. I'm going to kill you." And Eliyahu runs away. And then the glaring question is, where were the people? From Rav Kook it would seem like there was a true tshuva by the people. That the people were aroused and inspired and they did tshuva.
Eliyahu asked to die.
Eliyahu asked to die.
He didn't do what he wanted to do.
You see, Hashem didn't agree with him.
Hashem didn't agree with him that he wasn't able to do it in the future, or that he didn't do it in the past?
That's a good question. I'm saying there's a question here. Rav Kook is saying Eliyahu wanted to accomplish an internal shift by the people.
Right.
We see on that day they killed all the prophets of Baal that they could find. What happened the next day? Why does Eliyahu say, "Ki azvu b'ritecha b'nei Yisrael"? The Jewish people have left their covenant, Hashem. 40 days later, he's going to look at the Jewish people and say very harsh things about them. So I'm not sure, according to Rav Kook, what happened? Like, what's the next step? And what really happened the next day, according to Rav Kook? I don't know. And he's telling us this part of the Gemara, and I'm asking, well, what's the next step? And I don't know the answer.
This is an interesting point in Tanakh, in the sense that